right, folks, welcome back to Lays Mount West Wire Football Podcast, MWWire.com. You can find, what do we got here, Josh? Winners and losers, bowl projections, previews, all sorts of randomness that goes on. So, week five is in the books, and we're going to get to your game, because you attended a game that was kind of eventful, or was it just stupid eventful?
It was, the first half was stupid eventful.
We're referring to Colorado State Utah Tech, which we'll get to, which normally, we know how it is. Those games, yeah, they should, there shouldn't be much going on, but a certain coach in a certain city was, no, we want it all. But let's get to it right now. We're starting to touch late. Apologies, because I'm always late, apparently, on certain things, Josh. But let's get to games here. So we're going to go chronological order, as we typically do, despite, again, I'm using ESPN.com, which I should not, Josh. Do you want to take a gander of what game it tells me the first game of the day was for Saturday?
Fresno State.
Yeah, exactly. The last game of the day. But we're not starting there, which was a game of itself. Utah State-UConn. 34-33. Utah State wins because Ike Larson, who is a legit one of the best defenders in the conference, blocks a PAT. Did you happen to see how he ended up blocking? Did you see the game-winning play?
I didn't. I couldn't tell if it was from the side or if he jumped over somebody.
No, he just ran. Like, he just, like, came out of nowhere. It's almost like the Patriots blocked a couple weeks ago. Not that he ran vert parallel to the line, but, like, he broke through that quickly. And, like, he was deep in the backfield. And if he wanted to, he probably could have picked it up and ran it back for two. But what is Utah State doing here? They went back to Cooper Laga, who had three touchdown passes.
Well, that was because
yeah.
Got a concussion.
He got the concussion, but, which is, well, okay. I'm going to pause my phrase. I was going to say something in the improper order. Legault looked good. McCahill said before he got that wasn't great. And now what do they do at quarterback? Right? He comes in, there's three touchdowns. Come in for Hillstead. Who knows how long he'll be out with that concussion. But it's like, I just do the shrug emoji for Utah State because the past couple games, James Madison, who did they play before? But all these second half comebacks either work or don't work. And so, what do we make of it? Like, what is your optimistic or anything about this team? Because they got the win. Air Force game was a mess second half. James Madison, again, like I mentioned. They start off slow, going down about 14-0. Like, it's a legit question. Is this team any good?
I feel like they can be. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're almost like, I don't want to compare them exactly to CSU, but CSU's kind of the same way, where, you know, it's slow starts and then they pick it up. But I don't know if that's what this Utah State team is trying to be. I feel like they're trying to be that complete team, and then they just, that slow start seems like what is actually more of them, and then the them picking it up is the opponents just like letting off.
It could be because it was 17-7 at halftime, but it didn't seem like that because watching part of the game, you get Jim Moore Jr. down there coaching them, and the game started off actually okay. They got the interception, and then nothing really happens. Back and forth turnovers, messy game. UConn scores 14 points off those turnovers, and it's 14-0 and 17-0 before even a field goal. I was like, they were outclassed, outplayed. The defense did a couple of things, like stopping them on the turnover and downs where UConn was basically, they wanted to basically kill Utah State on that 4th-and-1 inside the red zone. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, we want to score here, go up 21-0. They still get points. But like, this team, they're just so Jekyll and Hyde, because Idaho State game, I take nothing from that. Who cares if you scored 78 points? But I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback because Legault was looked fine. He's played so sporadically for like 3 years. He comes in with Hillstead the injury. It's like they have no running game. They have Jalen Royals. Like, where the heck did he come from, man? Three touchdowns, 100, nearly 200 yards. This team's just, it's for the past, I'm flabbergasted, as you can tell, everybody. But the past couple years, Josh, like, how confident we've been in this team. It's always been, I don't know, they're a second half team. Like, even when they won the conference title, there's still questions about it.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, and shout out to all the Utah State fans who ride with the team, but like they were getting angry at us for not like picking them and ranking them higher and stuff
when
in that conference championship year. And we always responded with, well, no one knows what this team actually is. Like, they more than likely could have lost the majority of those games that year, but somehow pulled it out in the end.
And then the year before, they it was the opposite.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is a good, like, having this perseverance and having that huge third quarter, because I believe they scored, if I'm correct here, 24 straight points in a row, because they were down 17-0. So they ran off 24 in a row, which is great. And that fourth quarter is pretty exciting, back and forth, the 16, it was 16-10 for the final, then blocking the extra point, which is a heck of a way to get a walk-off victory. They did a couple things okay, but that fourth, like, they have the running game. We thought with, like, the transfer of Briggs coming in, he would do something. But when you had Legault and Hillstead lead your team in rushing, and Hillstead obviously left with a concussion. You had Faison with 17 yards. Briggs had 17 yards as well. They have no explosive running game. I do not expect this team to be able to throw as well as much as they did and win. And was there an issue with Terrell Vaughn? Did he not play or something? Because he had no receptions in this game. Was he out, do you recall?
Not off the top of my head, and a quick search of Google doesn't say anything.
Yeah, because I watched the game on mute and doing a few things in the morning and caught up in a second off later. But so I was just curious. I'm like, he's a legit player. So if they have the other ones who can come in and do something explosive like Jalen Royals did. But this team's 2-3. They beat UConn, which is not saying much because UConn's terrible, honestly. They're winless. You're telling me they got Fresno, no chance, at San Jose State, like, they're sitting at two wins. I think I put them in the bowl projection this week again just because they won. But I don't have too much confidence. This is their first FBS win of the year, too. This is, like, their first legit win. And it's against one of the worst teams in the country. So when they play your Rams next week, that's probably toss-up at worst.
It opened as a pick'em.
Okay, Aggies at home and a pick'em. Okay, that makes sense. All right, what do we got for the next game here? Where are we going here? Do you want to go to Boise, Memphis?
Yeah, that was next up.
Is Boise just a bad football team?
I don't want to say that because...
But they're not good either.
I also think it's partially on Talon at this point. I don't think it's an offensive play caller. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. I really don't. He can make plays, and he's good at that. But I feel like Maddox Mattson is the better quarterback. Even Mike Prater with the Broncos. I think it's Broncos News Nation or something.
Bronco
like that.
Nation News.
Yeah, Bronco Nation News. Even he wrote an article calling for a quarterback change today. So I feel like they need, because who do they have next? They get San Jose State next. I feel like that's a game where you roll out Mattson and see what he can do.
Because I saw the article. It was behind a paywall at the moment. I know over there, BJ Raines, they make them, I think, all free eventually. There's also mentioned in that piece, like, a coaching dismissal, possibly, he's looking at. But we've talked about the preview, and we'll get to the Memphis game in a second. But the bigger thing is what's going on with this team. Because the quarterback situation we mentioned, this is his third offensive coordinator. He had one last year for a minute, fired, when Hank Bachmeier transferred. Dirk Koetter is a genius and does great things. And then now the replacement. And this is the reason, like, this is not to toot my own horn, say, oh, you know what you're talking about, you're amazing. There's a reason I did not want to put him as a preseason player of the year or best first-team quarterback. I wanted to see more of what he could do. And I know he was talented last year and did well, but I'm like, I'd want to, and my pick of Shavon Cordero and most people's picks doesn't look good either. So it's not like we hit everything right here, Josh, but that is a big reason where a guy who started, I think, 8 games, played in 10 or 12 last year. And we'll see. If not for Ashton Jeanty, and then when Mattson came in, who was pretty effective, those 2 touchdown passes, completed nearly every pass he has. They have a good receiver in Eric McAllister, Billy Bowens, Stephen Cobb. Like, all these guys are catching passes, but their defense... This is a weird game because if we get back, obviously, the Memphis game here, like, the first quarter was slow, but they were just not able to just get it done. Like, I would assume if you had Maddox the whole game, or Maddox, excuse me, had been flipped, they would have won this game because it was still close even like before Taylor Gaines was out. It was still a close ball game. It wasn't like there was this massive comeback when they switched quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't. I headed over to the stadium before I think I saw the switch. So I mean, it, the biggest because or I headed out at halftime when it was 17-7 Boise. You know, Memphis runs off. Actually, yeah, 28 straight points at one point, and then they make a little bit of a comeback. But I want to see Mattson. I feel like he's the better option for this team. And that's no offense to Taylor Green. He's a great athlete. I just don't think he's the right quarterback to lead the Broncos.
And also, we should mention, too, I just because we should have probably led with this, the blocked field goal for a touchdown. that's a 10-point swing, and that's literally the difference of the game. And that was in the second half when they made it 21-17. But what you do see with Maddox out there, he's throwing the ball. He completed with 11-14, the two touchdown passes. Finding, like, one of his touchdown passes was to Ashton Jeanty.
To be fair.
Let me rephrase that.
That's first scored by Ashton Jeanty.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, hey, he's a real deal man, right? He's the man. Two reception touchdowns, two passing touchdowns. I don't think it's been announced, but I'm pretty sure he might. There's a good chance he can be player of the week offensively, I think. And so, like, Memphis, like, here's the other side of it. People, okay, I was reading the DM or comments on Twitter from that Parade or piece and everything, trying to get to it, but it's not just a quarterback. How many times have we mentioned the secondary getting burned? Like, they lost so many players, and it's just not recovering.
And they've been hurt, too.
They have injuries and deep passes. Like, Rock Taylor had their two passes over 50, two touchdowns, no picks. Like, Seth Hennigan did fine, 269, nothing amazing, but they made big plays passing the ball.
Yeah.
And the defense played okay, like seven TFLs, but like overall, it's like they just this. What do people want from Boise State? This is not a team from 10 years, not even 8 years ago. That's going to go 11-2. They don't have a quarterback. They haven't. When's their last good quarterback they had? Is it freaking Grant Hendricks? Joe Southwick?
No, Brett was pretty good.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I missed Brett Rippin. But how long ago was he? He's like four quarterbacks ago, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, you had Hank Bachmeyer for multiple years. You have
like 5 years.
Taylor Green now, a year and a half. So it's a good 5 years. They haven't had have a good quarterback in a while.
Yeah.
This team just needs, and with George Lonnie still injured and not playing, that's a problem because having both running backs, if Lonnie was somewhat healthy, like they didn't play extremely well offensively and they still nearly won this game. Despite having a terrible miscue, so they're kind of close. I made the joke: are they a good football team or bad? But Memphis is solid. Memphis is 4-1, and it was a road game. It's not like it was a pushover that they took to the wire, where the fourth quarter was 15-14, 2-point conversion play. Boise State earns, but they ran out of time. Like they had when they punted after, I'll say the biggest swing of the game was the blocked field goal touchdown. Then they go 9 plays and have to punt the ball, and then Memphis comes around and scores again.
Yeah.
You're down. What do you think of this play here? So they're down 4 points. They're at the Memphis 38-yard line, 8 yards away for a first down. Taylor Green, like, still playing for some reason at that point. He hasn't been taken out yet at that point, if I'm reading this correctly here. Yeah. Do you not just go for it there? Like, that's a weird place to punt. I know it's 4th and 8.
4th and 8 on the 38. Memphis, how much time's left on the clock?
Basically the full quarter. So
you're only down by 4. Numbers say punt.
I agree. It's like they didn't get the ball back. That's why I'm just kind of curious because the next 2 times they got the ball, they scored, and maybe they should have made a switch at halftime. Like it's.
I mean, we can second guess them all night.
Well, I'm just looking at it here because when you look at their possession second half, punt. They drove down and missed a field goal. They go 9 plays to punt, then they switch. So I would assume they go with Maddox next week. Maddox Mason there and see when they play. Who did you say they got to get next week?
San Jose State.
That's an interesting one. It's at home. We'll see, but they're just a football team. That's all there is to it. There's nothing Outside of Gentry, there's nothing elite about this team. I don't know. Let's move on. What's our next game here?
Hawaii UNLV.
Oh boy. Did you see what Split Zone Duo said? 8-win Hawaii team coming their way?
You mean 8-win UNLV?
Or sorry, 8-win UNLV scar. I had the Hawaii logo pop up in front of me. 8-win Rebels? Yeah.
So 4-1. They got left.
Well, they still play Jaden Maeva this game because Doug Brumfield's still out.
I mean, they haven't. Honestly, I wouldn't even rush him back. I'd almost redshirt him if they could.
Yeah, see what you can do because they like Hawaii's defense. Yeah, it's not very good, but they are. I think I put on Twitter. FPI puts him like at a 94% chance to get to a bowl game. It would be their third bowl game this century, essentially since like 2000. First one in 8 years or something, 10 years just about.
Yeah.
But they took care of business in this game. They didn't even need to throw the ball all that well. They only had 11 completions. They scored 44 points. Like, this was a game where it's like, okay, you score 44 points. Tell me how Rebels are doing it. You would think it would be done a little bit, just kind of maybe slightly different. They took care of Hawaii turnovers, a fumble for a touchdown. They had interception late in the game, doesn't matter. They had touchdown plays that were all under, like, a lot of them were under 10 yards. Like, they were moving the ball, kicking field goals. They were being aggressive. They went for it on, sorry, that's why they went for it. My bad. I was looking at the wrong thing here. But this team, is it Brennan Marion? Is it Barry Odom? Like, what's the reason they're doing so well? Because if you look at just like the pure, they ran the ball extremely well. So I guess we can start there, honestly, Josh, with Blester, Jet Thomas, Vincent Davis. They were guys you're getting just running over this Hawaii defense.
I mean, that they've done it 2 weeks in a row now where all UNLV's just run the ball because it's worked. Like, they use the pass to keep it honest. Usually teams do that in the reverse. But like you said, Hawaii just isn't good defending the run. I mean, they held Jaden to just over 50% through the air. But then they couldn't stop it on the ground. So I don't really know. We think they're okay, but sometimes they show us they're not.
Yeah, and like this particular game, like I like this rivalry game. They got the cool trophy and everything. Okay, I gotta laugh at this. Did you see Braden Schrager's rushing totals?
Oh, 6 for -46.
Yes.
Those were all sacks.
No, I'm just saying it's just funny. No, I know. He got sacked 6 times, 10 TFLs. So I just kind of want to get a chuckle of that minus 46 yards, which I'm like, that's exactly six. Yeah, exactly his 6 sacks. He did not rush once intently. But also, like we mentioned, the Rebel offense, like running the ball, at least their defense, I know it's Hawaii, and yeah, they gave up 300 yards in the air to Braden Schrager because the run and shoot, you give up yards. Like, especially, dude, give a shout out to Stephen McBride. He had 180 and a touchdown. But 10 TFLs, like this defense. Like, Jonathan Baldwin is a player. Like, they have, who was I looking at here? Who's the, what's his name? Shoot. I'm going to pass. Who's the linebacker they injured from UNLV like 2 years ago? Do you recall?
For UNLV?
Yeah. Do you remember? Like, it doesn't matter. I'll move on. But there's one, he's not on this list here. I'm trying to recall. But he was like legit. Oh, Brendan Scott. That's right. Like, he doesn't even do anything this game. Like, and so they get out the quarterback. They get after Hawaii's offensive line, which isn't very good. Tylan Hines is not doing what people thought he would do. 9 for 43 is nothing. They've got the doors blown off them. They're down 23 at halftime. Rebels just crushed them. Like, this team, UNLV never does this, Josh. They're a team where if they win, it could be ugly. It's like, oh, it's because the other team played bad. This is not a situation where, oh, Hawaii just played terrible. Hawaii couldn't run the ball because UNLV stopped them. They passed the ball pretty well just because that's what the offense does, but they still got a pick and sacked them 6 times. This team, like, how? What's your, like, optimistic for Rebels team? If they stick with Maeva, because Brumfield, like you said, like, well, maybe you don't need him right now and see how long you can ride it with this guy.
I mean, I can see 7 with the CSU game being a toss-up and maybe San Jose State being a toss-up too.
Can they be any of the combo of Fresno, Wyoming, or Air Force?
I'd have to give them Wyoming.
You think they
if can... if you made me pick one, Wyoming.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that as a biased CSU fan. I'm just saying out of those three, Wyoming would be the easiest in quotation
marks. Yeah. Exactly.
Win out of those three.
Well, you got Fresno on the road, Air Force on the road. I guess that needs even San Jose State, which I'm still hanging on by a thread that they're a pretty good team. But they're not really. I should just give it a hang it up. But they're, yeah, I agree with you. Even in Wyoming, that's not going to clearly not going to be the easy game for them anyways. That's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
But I think I could almost guarantee if this, like this offense, like look what they're scoring. 44 versus Bryant, 40 versus Vanderbilt, 45 versus, they scored 40 points in all but one game this year when they lost to Michigan. Is it too early to, like they got the Cannon game next week. They should score 50 against Wolfpack.
Yeah, probably.
And I also think Brendan Marion, he's going to get a head coaching job next year, I think. Or a better OC job, possibly. I don't see why that's off the table.
Yeah, maybe. It depends on how much money the Fertitta Brothers throw at him.
I did hear something about it because, you know, Barry Odom came from Arkansas. Like, I'll just have him come back and be their head coach next year. I don't know if that's the case. But I did hear a little bit of talk about that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We'll see.
So Hawaii, 2-4. It's still a work in progress for Hawaii. It's like you got to have some sort of running game in the run and shoot, which they don't have. It's not like a necessity, but they got to do a little bit better, I think, right?
Yeah, they have to.
All right. What do you got?
Are seeing some changes. Like they've shown some good performances, but there still needs to be major strides made.
Yeah, because their longest run was 13 yards. Like yeah. even take away sack yardages, that's 26, or let's go this, 20 for 92. That's not enough. UNLV ran for 307 yards and had three players do amazing things. So, and then even Maeva scrambled and got 32 yards. So what's next? Is it your CSU game? Are we there yet?
No, we are at New Mexico, Wyoming.
Hey, do we need to give you a round of applause for saying it was close?
I brought up the stat.
You are?
Since 2014, Craig Bull is now 5-5 against New Mexico.
Good job. You're 500. 35-26 Wyoming gets the win. And also, like Matt mentioned on Twitter, like Devin Dampier for New Mexico, 4-6, 41 yards, 2 touchdowns, maybe? They got a little something there.
I mean, that was just because Dylan Hawkins isn't effective. I mean, he'd been effective to start the year, but then he ran into to a buzzsaw that is Wyoming.
And then, the Wyoming, like, we know what their defense is. It's really good. And again, it's funny, Stoutland, 4-6, 41 yards, 2 TDs for Dampier there. But this game, like, New Mexico scoring 26 points is pretty impressive against a Wyoming defense. for what we've typically seen what they could do. Because they held Texas to basically to what 10 points through three plus quarters. They Texas Tech, after being down 17-0, gave up basically nothing the rest of the way. App State only 20-something points. So New Mexico put up the third most points on the year out of five games. But I guess the good thing about Wyoming, New Mexico helps a lot of things, Josh. Andrew Peasley looked I'm not gonna say good, but what do we use a pedestrian extra? Was he like a little bit better than pedestrian in this game?
I mean, I for Wyoming standards, he was great.
Oh,
I mean,
there you go. That's a good way to put it. For
16-25 for 194 in a touchdown. I mean, I think Craig Bull would take that any day of the week.
This is honestly the stat line they probably should strive for every week for a quarterback in this range. Because Harrison Whaley took over because he's the only running back they have now. 191 yards, had a huge 66-yard breakaway. And also, Peasley's not throwing to three players. He threw to, 10 different players on this team that caught a catch. They only had, the highest catcher was three with a couple guys.
Yep.
But the big thing is Gabe, which was amazing for Wyoming. That third quarter, they exploded for them, 17 points.
Well, where they just New Mexico got gashed.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know if the altitude started affecting them or what.
Yeah, because here's part of it, too. You get that long drive to start the half for Wyoming for just a field goal. Quick interception, one quick play for a touchdown. It's 22-9. That game's basically over. That was that 46-yard Harrison Whaley run. But the rest of the game, New Mexico, they had that long field goal drive, but everything was three and out. They had the one touchdown, but they were just that little bit of stretch to start, which is very important. The start of the third quarter, them getting beat for those mistakes, and just that was kind of the ballgame there. When Wyoming's up 9 points to anybody, you're basically over. They're just going to suffocate you. Even though New Mexico did make a little bit of a comeback there in that fourth quarter. But Lobos don't necessarily – obviously, we know, Josh, they don't necessarily have the offense to move the ball that well. Even though they – that last drive, 11 plays, 99 yards, that's pretty impressive to go down there and score, doing what they did on that drive, converting they only needed two third downs, but that was a pretty impressive drive for them to go 99 and get touchdown to make the score look better than what it was. Because after that, Wyoming's like, yeah, we'll just kind of screw around and kick a field goal just to make sure we got this game for sure, right?
Yeah.
Because they got the, what was it there? Personal foul penalty and just stuff going on. It's not good. The return and everything. But New Mexico, I guess they're showing a little bit of improvement, right? Can we say that? 2-3?
Absolutely. I mean, they've shown. We'll have to see who they play next, if they can keep it up. But if they can keep it up for the rest of the year, yeah, I'd say this team is greatly improved.
I would agree there. It just depends on quarterbacks. It's part of it is with the new OC coming in from UAB. They ran the ball pretty well, 200 plus yards, decent receiving. Overall receiving was fine. Passing, receiving. It's just. They're getting there. If you're telling me, Josh, we're switching quarterbacks, we're doing this, they lose 30-10 against this Wyoming team. But having it be close and giving fight in the fourth quarter, that's kind of all what you want from this team right now. Then the wins will come down the road. So, all right, next game. Moving down the schedule here.
Now we're at Colorado State.
So why does Utah Tech coaches, was he such a jerk?
I don't know. A lot of people were saying they thought he wanted the fans to leave because a lot of them did after the second lightning delay.
So what's lightning delay? 30 minutes?
So it's 30 minutes from any lightning strike within 8 miles.
Okay.
And so we had the first one, then it triggered again, which ended up being 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we played the majority of the second quarter. Then with less than 2 minutes left, they got the other one, and that's when the majority of the fans started to leave.
So why do you think, if you want to think about the coach, why does he want, because what happened, instead of just going from second, the last 2 minutes in second period to finish straight away, is it just the fans leaving, or is there any other reason he want a full halftime as well?
I mean, it could also be he trying to keep CSU out of a rhythm. Because everyone saw how disorganized they became in the second quarter. And so it's just, maybe he just wanted to see if he could keep them keep him on ice for as long as he could.
Whatever the secondary was not working. Like, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, like, he lit them up. Troy Horton had... Is this probably his best game ever as a Ram? 3 TDs, 227 yards? Has to be, right?
He's yardage-wise, probably. I think he's had... Let me see if I can take a quick look. He's had multiple three-touchdown games before. I just don't know if it... If he had a high, like, in terms of catches and yardage, I don't know if he's had a better one.
Yeah, this game. But so, what do you make from the, is there, this? We're not going to spend too much time with this, but what do you make of this game winning 41-20? Is it the offense just went crazy that you're glad to see a quarterback do as well as Braden did?
I mean, he got a little sloppy in the second quarter, but that's just standard freshman mistakes, and he took responsibility for a lot of it. But a lot of fans are very excited from what we see, because we can see he has that swagger that we've been missing for a while. He has the big play ability, and then he just needs to learn a little bit, you know, instead of throwing it barely to the sideline when you're trying to throw it away, throw it into the stands, because that was one of the interceptions, was he was trying to throw it away and he just didn't throw it out of bounds far enough.
And those will come with him figuring things out once he plays more games. Just because you said freshman guy, it's like, yeah, we'll do mistakes here and there. So, next game, where are we going here? What's going on?
San Diego State Air Force.
Where did you put Air Force in your poll this week? Have you done your power poll yet?
I put them in number one.
Is it even close?
It became closer after Fresno State barely beat, I shouldn't say barely, but only put up 29 points against Arizona State.
Well, plus 8 turnovers.
Yeah. The gap widened a little bit after they put the beat down on Kent State, but then it completely flipped this week with what the Falcons did to San Diego State and how poorly Fresno State played.
I agree with you. We'll get to that in a minute. I put Air Force 1 and moved them this week. And my point, like, you beat Purdue, cool. You beat Arizona State. Those two teams are probably almost the worst in each of their conference. You get a win, but there's other reasons they should be better. Well, they're fine. They're winning games. That's all you can ask for, but not overly impressive or as dominant as they should be. But this game, Air Force outscored San Diego State 42-10 in the second and third period. What is wrong in San Diego? Like, their defense is just dreadful, particularly this game. Okay, I won't say overall, but it's not been what it has been. We know what Air Force does, Josh. They run their option attack. Cade Harris did fine. Dylan Carson, Zach Lear. Like, John Lee Eldridge barely is playing this year, and it doesn't matter. He has 4 rushes for 24 yards. They actually threw the ball 7 times. Both a couple touchdowns there.
They averaged 27 yards a completion.
Oh, that's wild. San Jose State's defense is not good. Only 3, they got no pressure, 3 TFLs. No sacks, even though it's hard, but they threw 7 times. Jalen Maiden, I was hoping he'd be better. And I've been saying this for a while. There's like no running game for San Diego State. When their defense is just okay, they're not a good team. Like, they're just – I left them in the bowl thing for one more week because I looked at who they have coming up. And there'll be some confidence. Oh, we're 4-4 now because who they have the next couple weeks. I think they have Nevada and Hawaii. Probably should win both of those. But – Air Force's defense is legit, and they shut down everything here. They picked off Maiden. They were just no pressure. We're taking no mercy here. We're going to beat the crap out of you. Your offense sucks. Your defense can't touch what we're doing. We give the ball to anybody, but we're scoring touchdowns. They have a pick 6 in this game, which I saw the stat, but I don't recall what it was. It's like they put up something on the screen, something about defensive touchdowns. It's like the first one Air Force has had in a very long time.
That's... seems very surprising to me, because while yes, Air Force does have a very good offense, they've always been kind of known for their defense as well.
Past couple years, yeah. And typically they'll just knock stuff down. Maybe it's just touchdowns are hard to come by. So
that is true.
And obviously, it's the most obvious statement ever, right? Oh, defensive touchdowns are hard, guys. Let me tell you, you got to get the ball from the other team and go back and score without being tackling you. But San Diego State's embarrassing. They go 3 and outs, what, and four and out, I think, what, seven times?
So they had, let's see if we can count real
quick. They had two punts on four plays, two on three plays. Yeah, four times they had to punt within four plays.
Yeah.
Like, their touchdown drive was quite impressive, the first one. It took them, they basically pulled an Air Force, 17 plays, 80 yards, almost 10 minutes. They just kept, and when I saw that, I'm like, okay, they're, and they went for it on fourth down and got it as well. So they moved down, they get the touchdown. It's actually on a maiden pass. It goes back and forth, but that was the only impressive thing all day. And I kind of figured, okay, they're going to hold the ball, not allow that Air Force rush attack just to gas their defense. And that's the only thing good in that game. Yeah, they got a field goal at the end of half. But they were shut out in the second half. Three of the four quarters are shut out. This Aztec, like, what are they going? I was hoping with Ryan Lindley, they'd be a passing team a little bit. And Maiden's kind of in the same spot as Taylor Green. Came in last year, probably through. Give him an offseason, give him this, but it's not. And I'm not blaming Maiden, but, like, for San Diego State standards, he was fine. 13-24. Probably want to kind of narrow that gap of completion to incompletion. It's 122, whatever, touchdown pick, that's okay. But they don't, like, Keenan Christian, like, they don't run the ball. Half his yards came on one play. He only had 58. They're not good. They're bad.
I don't know if they just need more time, if they're, I'd have to double check their roster to see if they're playing the young guys. But you brought up the point, yeah, like, Jalen Maiden is basically just Taylor Green. Mm-hmm. And they're great athletes and they can make plays. But San Diego State needs a quarterback, a true quarterback. And I'm not sure they even have one on the roster at the moment.
They've needed a quarterback for decades, man. Like, since Ryan Lindley was playing, they haven't had a quarterback. Yeah. Like, Christian Chapman, like, that's what they really need, honestly. Like, that's the kind of QB they need. So, a better stat line, say Maiden was, win doesn't matter, but going something like 17-24, 180, a pick, a touchdown, no picks. Or maybe, like, you don't average out a pick, a TD, 1.5 to half a TD to half a pick a game. Something like that. Like, he throws a year where he's like, seven interceptions and 20 touchdowns or something. But with that, they don't have a running game either. So it's not like, okay, we'll rely. We're passing games just okay, but they have nobody who can run the ball either.
Yeah, and they haven't had a good running back in a couple of years.
I don't know, man. They're just – in Air Force, they're legit. We're talking about Air Fresno in a second. I would love if it was a 12-0 Air Force versus a 12-0 Fresno State.
Well, hold on. Do they play each other?
No, they don't. No.
Yeah, it could happen.
Also, why is Air Force not ranked?
Because everyone's scared of the triple option.
I agree with you. They're better than Fresno State, or at least playing better than Fresno State. So Fresno State wraps up the night. I watched more of this game than I thought it would, because I was like, oh, it's going to be a blowout. So Fresno State has, and we're in our DMs, you probably saw our buddy Brandon chatting about it too. Their offensive line is not very good. They have problems. Well, yeah. Mickey.
Seven sacks.
Yeah, well, Keen was sacked twice this game. No, no, but the other way around. So not the Fresno State defensive front. They're great. But he was only sacked twice, but he was hurried so many times. Like, he had to step in the pocket, had to sidestep. Like, there was times where he was breaking through and getting him. So imagine when they play an actual, obviously much better defense down the road. So that could be a concern for him. The only way, like, it was close half time, 14-0. It was not great. They were not doing anything. Blake Sherrod did fine running the ball, but he had that one huge run, and that was it. Like, Jalen Gill was their guy who scored the points for them in the air. Like, Keen was fine, but why are they not scoring more points against a bad football team?
It could be this, you know, this team is just getting lucky. They're playing to the level of their opponents.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned earlier, Purdue's not that good of a team. They've been able to make the plays, but at the same time, they tend to play down is what it seems like to me.
Had they played a good team, two interceptions that they punt and led to a punt, that could have made a difference in the game.
Yeah.
And also, that late touchdown, people aren't happy if you took 24.5 in this game too. Winning 27-9.
Hold on. Let's see. I forget if I picked the over or not for that.
Well, the over was like 50.
I did. I told people to pick the over.
You missed it by quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's
what Fresno State does to me.
So if this game is 27-2, would you have any difference at all, or does it matter that they only put 27 points?
With how good we know this Fresno State team could be, I don't think their fans should be happy that if they don't put up 40 points against bad teams.
Yeah, because when you look at, they beat Kent State. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Nevada's schedule. Sorry. Yeah, what was the Kent State game where they put 47 points against them?
It was like they covered the over by themselves. It was like it's 53.
Okay, sorry. I pulled up Nevada's schedule now because I'm curious what they're scoring per game. But a Nevada team, not great. Like, they've been 53, 29 for ASU, 34 Eastern Washington, 39 Purdue.
36.4 a game.
That's not bad. Obviously, it's good, right? But when they play Wyoming next week, they could lose that game 13-10.
They could. Then a lot of people will know what Mountain West football actually is.
Exactly. And one thing about this, why that I kind of joke with that, Fresno's defense is legit. You mentioned the seven sacks, 11 TFLs. That is wild. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different people get a sack or sack and a half a sack or more. They were just harassing Nevada, and they had to go to AJ Bianco, who ended up getting a TD, but Brendan Lewis led the team in rushing. Sean Dollars literally did nothing. Spencer Curtis is a solid player. And they also have a couple of defenders that are decent, but Fresno should win. They should have scored more, obviously, 30-plus points. Yeah. And you're right. I think this does look like a classic. Let's play as well as our team is, opponent. Eastern Washington, overtime, 34-31. That's not good.
No.
Do you know what the line is for this game, the Fresno-Wyoming game next week? Do you have that in front of you?
When I checked, because it was already available before this past Saturday's
game. That's right. You put it in like a -3 for Fresno, right?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if that's changed. Give me one second.
I'm trying to stink because that's going to be – and that also game where I'm looking it up is going to be on regular Fox, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So that's a pretty big deal. Going to Laramie. So that's going to be an exciting – it's always a good atmosphere, but it's going to get some national pub on a ranked team and go up against a Wyoming team who's already beat a Big 12 team despite – Texas Tech not being very good.
It is currently Fresno State -6.
Would you take that right now?
I think I not with the way this Fresno team is playing.
Because like I don't think I'm wrong saying like it could be 1st-20 and it's only by a field goal difference.
It could be 1st-10.
I'll give Fresno a little more credit than that. A little bit. But it's also like Andrew Peasley, what he's going to do, like what's their running situation to be like. But so let me ask you this while I wrap it up here. You got Fresno and Air Force. Is anybody a close third? Like who is third?
If you made me pick it, Wyoming.
Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Wyoming is my clear third. Sorry. My mistake there. I forgot about the Cowboys for a moment. I apologize, Cowboys fans. I think Air Force and Fresno are clear-cut 1-2. Wyoming is right there. Who'd you put 4? People starting to put UNLV number 4.
I think I put UNLV number 4.
Because it's not Utah State. Clearly not Nevada, New Mexico, CSU, San Diego State. Boise State.
You could maybe make a case for Boise. Barely. Or I don't think you actually can.
I think I did just because maybe I'm a UNLV hater at the moment and it's kind of just kind of normal to put them at the bottom. But actually, I want to see this. I like your chuckle. Actually, I want to see what I put them on there because the first three are simple. And I can understand if you still want to put Fresno number 1 for like who they beat. But I think I got to go Air Force. The Air Force should be ranked. There's no reason for them not to be ranked besides voters not actually watching these games were, but even if you just watch a box score, you beat San Diego State, who's a known commodity, 49-10. And you see Fresno win by a decent margin. Nothing eye popping, but not like it was a good win. Nothing crazy, but just a solid win. Looks like I did put UNLV number 4. So I do have the Rebels 4. But Utah State, I don't trust. CSU, TBD. San Diego State, no. So Anything else we need to add about this week of games? Because next week we have three games, Josh. Just three games. That's not enough.
I know. They'll both be like 15-minute podcasts.
And they start at the same time at 6 p.m. Good job, schedule makers.
Yep.
But anything you want to add about this past week or anything going on?
No. Just if you have 2 minutes left in the second quarter after a lightning delay, just take the halftime.
You already had the halftime. Just move on, right?
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll be back next time. NWR.com. We'll have all of our stuff upcoming for the week for our three-game preview. That'll be interesting how this week goes for us. But we'll see you next time. And, yeah, everybody have a good night.